Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What a weekend in store if you're a sports fan in Atlanta for Father's Day weekend. Philly series is going to be huge. Raise a game and a half up, going for 8 wins in a row as they send Max Fried to the mound against Nick Pivetta tonight. Tickets going to be hard to come by for this 3-game set against the Phillies, including Sean Newcomb against Phillies ace Aaron Nola on Saturday and Mike Foltynewicz on the mound Sunday afternoon on Father's Day. U.S. Open enters round two with Justin Rose, who's playing with Tiger Woods in the same group at 6-under, Tiger at -1. They will tee off at 11:24 this morning. Among the big headlines, of course, Atlanta United winning last night in the fanless game. That was, by the way, kind of interesting to watch.
Did anybody try to sneak in?
Yeah. People said they tried to get a look at it.
Yeah. like try to strategically climb a fence or maybe scale a wall.
And one guy tweeted at me and said he did that, but the popo said no.
Yeah,
you don't popo wanna, said no, no.
You don't want to catch no case or something silly like that. You don't want to catch a silly case.
God forbid you can't watch a soccer game. That's illegal. But the Atlanta United ended up winning the game 3-1. Through all of this, the Atlanta Falcons have wrapped up mandatory minicamp. They head towards the training camp in July 22nd, 48 days ahead of their game against the Denver Broncos. And out there covering it for us, of course, Jarvis Davis, who joins us this morning, our Falcons reporter.
Jarvis.
And a producer extraordinaire. Hey, Jarvis, how you doing?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Good morning to you.
Good morning. Now, Jarvis, you've been out there a couple times, in these little minicamps or whatever. What was the biggest difference that you saw this year as opposed to last year's training camp, outside the fact that, you got new rookies out there?
I think the first word that comes to mind is girth on the offensive line. Just getting the chance to just look at those guys and see Jamon Brown, because I'm not a small guy. And for me to look at an offensive lineman and say, damn,
it's a big dude.
Pretty big. Jamon Brown is a can move mountains. As the old gospel song used to say. But I think that's the first thing that comes to mind. And also, looking at the rookies, man, and thinking about the future going moving forward as far as the offensive line as well, and getting a good look at Chris Lindstrom and Caleb McGarry, and looking at those guys and seeing why the Falcons actually drafted those guys, I think that was the biggest thing that kind of just jumped off the field for me. It's just looking at the offensive line, man, and knowing that's the one thing that really held this team back on last year.
Yeah, we're talking with Jarvis Davis. He covers the Falcons for us for 92.9 The Game, and you can check all his stuff out at 92.9thegame.com. Jarvis, when you and I are out there Tuesday, the first day of minicamp, one of the things right in front of us early in camp were the returners, and Matt Bosher was punting to them, and Kenyon Barner dropped one, and they all had to do push-ups and whatnot. This is one area that is not just an area of concern for this team now, but has been an area of concern for a number of years for the Atlanta Falcons, not being able to settle the return game for them. This is going to be one area to really watch in preseason to see if we can finally solve this riddle.
You know what, John? That's interesting that you mentioned that, because I actually asked Dan Quinn about that on yesterday, because the guy that really has stood out to me just from a speed and quickness standpoint is Marcus Green. It's the guy that they they drafted him out of Louisiana Monroe as a running back, but they've since moved him to wide receiver. And he's the guy that's really, really shown the qualities that you need to have and to be a dynamic kick returner. And I asked Dan Quinn about that yesterday, and I was saying, what does it take for a rookie to be able to make you comfortable with putting him in as that number one guy? And the first thing that came out of Dan Quinn's mouth was ball security. And because we've looked in the past, John, like you mentioned, they've been very, I always like to use a term that my homeboys used to use when special teams used to roll around. They used to always call anybody who was back there returning kicks, they used to call them fair catch shouting. So every time there was a punt, every time they punted the ball, it seemed like everybody was calling a fair catch. And I think that was more so a Keith Armstrong type thing, because Andre Roberts went on to make the Pro Bowl as a returner with the Jets after he left the Falcons. So, and Dan Quinn has mentioned in these OTAs that he wants to be aggressive in all three phases. So let's see if that happens by putting the rookie back there, because there's a possibility he may be able to make a play.
Now, I haven't heard that one in a long time. Fair catch, shorty. Don't really want to advance the ball. Hey, as long as we catch it, nothing, no harm, no foul. I don't get my head taken off anything like that.
One quick thing to note about Marcus Green is you watch him in preseason, too. And Jarvis, I know you say he's a running back, moved to wide receiver. When he was at Louisiana Monroe, one of the best return guys in the entire nation of college football. Broke a number of them for touchdowns.
No doubt about it. Hopefully he can be a guy for the black and red, man.
Yeah, that's all we're talking about. Jarvis Davis joining us. Covers the Falcons for 92 in the game.
Yeah, Jarvis, you were out there for the Vic Beasley, his press conference and what he said about not being, feeling any pressure or anything like that. And I know on this radio station, a lot of our hosts have had different opinions about that. I'm curious to wonder, you were out there. What did you think about that when he said exactly what he said?
He just seems uncomfortable. He doesn't seem like a guy that's comfortable in his own skin. I mean, I hate to put in the whole psychoanalysis type on him like that, but it just seems like he's just not comfortable in his own skin, because he was asked in several different ways about who he was working out with. And you could tell by the end of the presser right before, because he answered the question, reporter asked him a question about being able to, who he was working out with. You could tell he was talking about it. He was frustrated, not necessarily frustrated, but he was annoyed. It seemed like he was really annoyed that he was being asked so many different ways about who he was working out with, because he mentioned that he's been working out with.
All right, there it goes. All right, let's see if we can't clear this phone line up. Sorry.
Yeah, Jarvis, we had a bad connect, man. We had a bad – because I'm curious to hear what you had to say about that. Because, it's one thing, like us as reporters and
call Jarvis people, back, by the way.
And people that, talk on the radio, John, to hear a cut and we're asked to react to it. It's a whole lot different when you have somebody that got boots on the ground and that can look and see how the demeanor changes when you see somebody ask those questions. And that's why I asked him that, because it's curious, because – and it's also curious to say he was uncomfortable. Now, I would think, and this is just me, and when I talk about these, I talk about my experience with this, because I kind of went through the same thing when I was with the Eagles. My first year there, I worked out with the team, but after that, I said I had a trainer. His name was Ty Felder, Rope Man. We used to call him Rope Man. He was here in Atlanta. And I told them, this is the guy that I work out with. And, I even went so far as to let them know what my workouts were. And the other guys that I was working out with, Shannon Sharp was in that group. And everybody knows that Shannon is a workaholic and the way he works out and his workout regimen. So once I gave Coach that information and I told him the guys that were working out, he didn't really have a problem with that. So it was kind of interesting to hear Jarvis say that he felt some kind of way about people asking him about his workout regimen.
Yeah, so Jarvis, let's see if we can't clear up this phone line. Sorry about that, bub.
Oh, no, man. How does that sound?
Yeah,
oh, you sound wonderful.
All right, so we were talking about Vic. And so where do we go from here?
You know what? I think that if Vic Beasley comes out onto the field and performs, because he has incentive, it's not just the outside people or the fans or the media that wants him to perform. If he performs, he's going to get paid. And whether or not that's by the Falcons, I don't think that even matters in his mind. At this point, because, the Falcons want the production. They need the production. They're counting on him to be a productive player. So I think if he goes out on the field and gives you 8 to 10 sacks, I think the Falcons will be satisfied, and I think Vic Beasley will be satisfied as well, because he's going to get a check. There is no doubt about it. So I think everybody got skin in the game as far as Vic Beasley goes, and the media, and from the fans to the media to the organization. Everybody has skin in the game, so he has all the incentive in the world to perform. It's all up to him at this point.
Talking with Jarvis Davis, who joins us on the WayForward.com hotline, covering the Falcons for us, and a lot of storylines. One of the big storylines was that Grady was there but not working out, and that's leading Jarvis this morning to a lot of people wondering and scratching their heads, is this going to be an issue going forward?
No, I don't think it's going to be an issue at all because Grady is a guy who's he's a hard worker, man. He's a lunch pail guy. He's a guy that comes to work and do what he does, man. And Grady has always been a guy that he's a matter of fact type of dude. One thing about those type of guys, they're going to do what they're going to do, and they're going to say whatever they say they're going to do, they're going to do it. And you know, I don't think you have to worry about that at all. But my only concern is him playing on that franchise tag. If he has a season like I think he's going to have, the Falcons may be priced out on Grady Jarrett.
Yeah, they're going to definitely have to see him if that's the case. Outside of the offensive line, Jarvis, who was somebody else that in shoulder – well, not in shoulder pads, but in shorts that jumped out to you and you thought, like, hey, this might be a guy that we need to look at this season coming up?
Well, this is a guy that pretty much is on everybody's radar, but Calvin Ridley, man. This Calvin Ridley has – I've talked to Coach Quinn. I talked to Mohamed Sanu, and Mohamed Sanu specifically said that he's been working with Calvin Ridley on being able to attack the ball. Now, we know Mohamed Sanu is notorious for that on third down. That what makes him such a great third down option for Matt Ryan. And for him to be able to work with a guy like Calvin Ridley and be able to add that to his repertoire, I think you're looking to the 2019 season being really special for 18, because Mohamed Sanu said it himself, the guy is special. He's a special player, and there's a possibility that he can even have a better year than he did last year. I know that's saying a lot when he had 10 touchdowns, but from a yardage standpoint, and I think from just an overall production standpoint, I think you're going to really see Calvin really step into that number two wide receiver role.
I'm talking with Jarvis Davis here about the Atlanta Falcons. He covers the Falcons for us for 92.9 The Game. Again, you can go to our website, get the very latest Falcons coverage, and you should bookmark 929thegame.com for all your Falcons needs. Jarvis, Calvin Johnson was at practice yesterday, which I just thought was interesting. I'm not extrapolating.
You know, John trying to sign him up.
I'm just saying, I thought it was interesting.
Go ahead, Lou.
Well, you know, I just thought it was interesting, you know, offering a little bit of advice to some of the players here, because you mentioned Calvin Johnson. I thought, yeah, you mentioned Calvin Ridley. I thought, what about the other Calvin? Calvin Johnson just being a practice, taking in and soaking it all in. But here's the real takeaway from minicamp for me, and that is that apparently there are two things that from a social media viral standpoint stood out. One was Tack McKinley. If you haven't seen, go to the Falcons Twitter. Tack McKinley every day has this new mugging thing. Hey, did you see some of those? Where he's mugging for the camera?
I actually did get a chance. Yeah, I actually did see him do that, man. Tack McKinley is a character, man.
He's his own cat.
He embraces it when he wants to.
I know. He became a thing. You know, he became his own living, walking meme, you know, on more than one occasion. There was that. And then apparently the bucket hat is the thing now, because everybody got one. Did you get one?
Yeah. No, I actually wish, man, if it could fit my head, man, I don't think they have like a double X, extra, extra large for me, man, because, you know, I'm not a small-headed dude, so I can see if I can talk to Quinn and see if he can give me a double X and get a special order in or something.
All right, Jarvis, well, we're looking forward to training camp. I know that we're going to be covering it. Obviously, we'll be broadcasting live, and you'll be bringing us all the very latest from the inside the locker room stuff, too, as well. Jarvis, we appreciate your coverage. Thanks, bub.
Hold it down, man.
Man, I appreciate y'all having me on. And happy Father's Day to you guys, too, man.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Hey, thanks,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
You, too. Happy Father's Day.
Yeah, Jarvis, happy Father's Day to you, too. Jarvis Davis, one of the good guys. Been around the team a long time. And when Jarvis talks about offensive linemen, like you, Jarvis played. Jarvis played at Albany State, and he played offensive line. And when we talk about Big Jarvis, if he says somebody's big, Jarvis is a large
human being. Yeah, Jarvis
is not
a little dude. Jarvis is not a little dude, man. I mean, and then you talk
Jarvis
about
Jarvis bigger than you.
About the being able to move and things of that nature. That's the most important thing. But it's a different animal when you put those pads on, and, you know, other guys had their pads on, and they're trying to, you know, really, there's some added incentive to get to the quarterback.
And, of course, you know, there's not a whole lot we can glean from this. I did think it was interesting, you know, talking about Marcus Green, because we have a new special teams coordinator. That's an interesting story. You know, one of the battles to really – sometimes in preseason games, you don't get a real good sense, because players are going against – even if you put your young starters out there, they're not going against the all pros of the other team. Let's say in the case of
Lindstrom and
McGarry.
Right,
they're not game planning for you. But one area that you can really kind of get a real sense of real game action might be in special teams. And this is where you're going to have multiple guys get a shot to win that return job. Because we've gone through Devin Hester and Eric Weems and Andre Roberts and, I mean, on and on here trying to find somebody. But maybe it's not just those guys, as Jarvis said. Maybe it was kind of the philosophy. And now with Ben Kotwicka, maybe we'll have a more aggressive philosophy, which is good and bad. Ball security first, though, right? Father's Day coming up on Sunday. Your chance now to win a foursome of golf at Bears Best Atlanta in Suwannee. We're going to give it away. Now, again, this is this trivia we've been doing this week, and Dr. Trivia here, Abe the producer, this is kind of his little thing here, okay? And with giving away this foursome here, the way this works, Abe, walk people through again how this is going to be, because we have them lined up, and the first person that gets kind of the short straw here is Jack in Peachtree City.
Exactly right. Yeah, so the questions are going to be about movie or TV dads, famous movie or TV dads, and the first caller gets one clue. If he gets it right, he wins a prize. If he doesn't get it right, we move on to caller number two. He gets the first clue and an additional clue, and so on and so forth, and then we have a third caller. If caller number two doesn't get it right, he'll get the third clue, which... I mean, if you don't get it by the third clue, then you shouldn't have called in.
Now, the first day we did this, the winner got it on the second clue. That was Homer Simpson. And the third day we did this, all three clues were given out, including the who was the Supreme Commander of the Death Star.
Someone still missed it.
And they still missed it.
I couldn't sleep last night, tossing and turning, thinking of, I mean, the poor guy had four tickets to the Braves game right in front of him.
In his grasp.
And he gave us the wrong answer on that. That was rough.
Supreme Commander of the Death Star. So
cringeworthy, you know, on that one.
So if you're, you know,
did
number
he say
four or five,
Homer Simpson?
No, he said, I think he said... It
Did
wasn't
you say
Homer
someone from Star Trek or something.
It was something else.
It was debilitating, to be honest.
I don't remember who he said. You know, what's that? Oh, what do you mean? Oh, he's saying the answer isn't Darth Vader. You're saying the answer isn't Darth Vader?
He's going with There's different titles for different people.
Okay, anyway.
He's going with the Emperor.
Oh, so did we lost Jack? Oh, okay. Jack and Peachtree
City
is gone.
Jack said y'all was chirping too much. Too much chirping going on.
Here we go. So who's going to be first up now? AJ in Atlanta. AJ, happy Father's Day to you, and welcome to the program.
Thanks, John. What's going on, Hugh?
What's going on, man? How you doing today?
I'm blessed, boss.
You ready to win these tickets?
I'm trying to win them. Man.
What you got?
All right, AJ. Clue number one for you. This famous TV or movie father's job was as a shoe salesman.
Ah, come on, man.
Al Bundy.
Bingo.
Right out the gate. Everybody knew who Al was.
Was that too obscure? Or too easy, I mean?
That was too easy.
Yeah, it was pretty easy.
Clue number two was once scored four touchdowns for Polk High.
Oh, that would have gave it away,
that,
too.
So that, because I thought that was too obvious, so I didn't want that one to be number one.
That was what you call, and when you do trivia, what, a tier one question?
That's a round one question. Yeah. And then if we got real desperate, the final clue would have been had a son, Bud, a daughter, Kelly, and was married to Peg.
Yeah, that would have
definitely. If you had gone with this guy was once the head and the founder of the National Organization of Men Against Amazonian Masterhood.
No, ma'am.
It's possible that may have stumped people better than shoe salesman.
Yeah, right.
Now, I thought shoe salesman was obscure enough, but I guess not.
No, because everybody know Al used to sell shoes and complain about his wife all the time.
Hang on, AJ, because you're going to go get a foursome at Bears Best in Atlanta on us on a very happy Father's Day. So we had somebody get it on the second clue, somebody get it the fourth person, and then right out of the gate. See, Jack in Peachtree City, he shouldn't have dropped. He might have gotten it. He was first up.
Might have got that one. Might have.
He might have gotten it. You never know.
We'll never know.
Jack, I hope you're not sitting there going, I had the foursome in my hands.
Maybe he doesn't play golf. He heard the
That's it. Yeah, he said, I don't want to go play. I live in Peachtree City. I don't want to go to Suwannee.
He's got enough golf
which,
there.
You know, Peachtree I mean, City. Right, exactly. Peachtree City, exactly. So you are the master of trivia, and you do trivia every Wednesday night. Do you ever, like, win?
Oh, we win most
all the
weeks.
Time. That's what I figured.
Not every week. There's some good competition.
All right, so we asked you yesterday to give us one, and we got it wrong about gold, right?
Yeah. That's a trick question.
So give us another one that you get.
One of the questions this past week, Wednesday, was Name the athlete that has won the most consecutive MVPs in any of the four major sports. And the number for those is eight. Eight straight MVPs.
Eight straight MVPs.
In the four major sports.
I'm not Googling. Okay, hands up, right? I'm not typing, right? All right, let's work through this. That, obviously, eight straight would not ever be football, right?
Well, I'm thinking basketball.
Yeah, I'm thinking basketball. I'm thinking hockey.
I'm thinking LeBron James right off the top.
Well, I'm thinking, could Gretzky have ever done eight? That seems a lot, though, for Gretzky.
Yeah, that means you've been in a championship game a lot. That's what I'm thinking, championship. I'm thinking, is that regular season MVP?
Regular season MVP. Okay,
Super Bowl. Okay,
Stanley
Cup.
It could be baseball if it's way back in the day, like in the 1870s or something.
Yeah, we think it's too current, you think?
Yeah. If it's basketball, it's going to be back when there were fewer teams. Let's think like Wilt Chamberlain. You know what? Let's think Bill Russell.
Maybe.
You know, I mean, all those dominant Celtic teams.
Maybe. I would say that's a good one. Abe over there and all his snobbishness is over there smiling like he knows that.
You see
how he did that though, right? He letting us know he got it real quick. We over here trying to break it down. He's like, oh, I got this.
It's probably Babe Ruth.
Don't tell us the answer then, right, Abe, since you're over there smirking.
About Bill Russell.
All right, Bill Russell's wrong.
LeBron James.
It's not LeBron James. Now the
wow, he just shot me
the
down.
Answer most Thanks a people lot there, Abe. The answer most people put
and got, I'm glad they took your mic from you.
That's right. The answer most people put that got wrong was Michael Jordan. I think people forgot the time in baseball.
Right.
Any MVP run he had.
So who was it, Abe?
It was Gretzky. Of course, it was Gretzky.
Oh yeah.
Between Edmonton and the Kings after the trade. I mean,
the great one. Yeah. Okay.
The numbers he put up back then.
I mean, they were ridiculous. Yeah. I just didn't think that you would have had even in the dominant. I would have thought that maybe Messier won one or Jagr, you know, because he had other guys that were around him on his own team, you know, who would have done it. Lemieux would have broken the string or something because he had other great players in the – okay, all right, fine, it's Gretzky. That was probably – you know, sometimes the obvious answer is the answer.
You know, it's funny.
I think that was a round three question. That one wasn't that obvious.
See, but Abe, like, listen, you have to understand, this is what he does. So he's going to always be a little bit elitist when it comes to this. He's going to always – like, he's trying to – like, he's really trying to be – he's going to always be a little elitist when it comes to this. I'm glad Terry Fox took your mic, Abe, because that was just – that wasn't right the way you handled us. So what? We don't – you know what? I'm going to get my trivia game up.
You could have been the elite. You could have come.
I would have got one answer.
You would have gotten a question.
I would have got one
question
right.
No one on our team got.
I could have got one question right. I don't know,
man. What was that great trivia question about college football that we were talking about last week? There are, what, five or six current college football coaches that have won national titles, right? I think it's five, right, that have won a natty.
I think it's five now.
Now, right.
Which is a clue.
One of the great things about that question – all right, so here's a great question to ask your friends. What five current college football coaches, Division I, have won a national title? Now, it's pretty obvious two of them are pretty – of course, it's going to be Saban and Dabo, right? The other three are hard because they all won natties, but they're not at the team anymore that they won the national title. You would think if you win a national title, it's job security for life. But there are actually three coaches in college football who are all coaching at different schools than they won the national title with. Jimbo Fisher won a national title at Florida State. He's at A&M.
Mm-hmm. But he took the money, though.
Well, yeah, but I mean, for whatever reason, they're not there anymore,
he took
right?
The money.
Mack Brown, that's the tough one. People would forget because Mack Brown's now back at North Carolina, right? He won a national title at Texas. And Les Miles won a national title at LSU, and he's at Kansas. You would think, wouldn't you, if you won a national title, guys?
That you would have job security?
Yeah, for life.
Nah, it probably doesn't work like that anymore.
Apparently it doesn't because. You know, Mack Brown left North Carolina to go to Texas to try to win a national title, and he went back to North Carolina. Les Miles, on the other hand, you know, well, I don't know. Is that it? And that's it, right? I mean, we're not missing anybody.
I believe that's it, as long as you're keeping it, obviously, to Division I championships. I know some guys have jumped up from smaller schools into D1.
Oh, I got you.
Lance Leipold, stuff like that.
But, yeah.
That's the only three plus Dabo and Saban I could think of. For now, right? We may have Kirby added to that list.
You may.
Not that I'm saying anything, you know, come January 8th or whatever.
I mean, you could have a new one this year. I mean, Ryan Day at Ohio State or Jim Harbaugh finally gets it done. Or
I'll go on record, neither of those two guys.
Tom Herman,
the title
Lincoln
year.
Riley.
No, he can't even beat Ohio State. Coach Harbaugh.
Somebody from the Big Ten is going to win the Big Ten. The
Ohio State.
Ohio State or Michigan are the two favorites, right? I mean, somebody's going to have to make the playoffs. You make the playoffs and you're going to have a shot at the national title. You know, that's the new, see, that's the thing now. All you got to do is make the playoff. And you
I mean,
a shot.
I guess you can kind of say that. I mean, Oklahoma made the playoffs last year. They didn't really have a shot at the national title. I mean, really only half the field had a shot at the national title, right?
He's a little bit of a snob, John. You're just not figuring that. He's a sports snob. You're just not figuring that out. He's a little bit of a sports snob. I mean,
look at the first half of that game, Oklahoma,
he's
Alabama.
He's coming back with
shot.
Trivia championship trophies every week. You can't argue with a dude that mm-hmm. does that.
Now, really. The good thing, Hugh, is if you come out, the gift is $50 to the restaurant you're at. So we just spend those.
So we get some pizza.
Yeah.
So you've loaded up on this restaurant. You should have like a drawer full of them.
Well, every couple of weeks, the whole group, we will spend whatever.
It's safe
we want.
To say Abe is not paying for any more meals when they do trivia.
I'll make my dad pay anyway.
Man, he's probably one of these guys that's like a QB1 guy, too.
I'm not even that good.
You know, did you ever play QB1?
No, what is that?
It's a game you play at bars, and you have to guess what the next play is. You can pass, run, right, left, deep, center. You know,
you talking about while I'm watching the game?
Yeah, so if you guess that the next play is going to be a pass, deep center, and it's a pass, deep center, you get like 50 points, and if it's a run, you get zero.
You need to stop going to them loser bars, man. Like, you go to the bar to watch the game or at least try to holler at somebody. Like, those are the bars that, you know – I mean, you know, the friends that I hang out with, that's where we go.
That's a loser bar.
You playing video games at the bar? Wow, why the football game is on?
I don't need to holler at anybody.
Well, you don't need to have your butt at the bar then. You need to go home. Stay your butt at home and watch the game.
I've played that game, Freaky. Don't feel bad.
Yeah, I play QB1.
We need to get you a girlfriend. That's what we need to do. We need to get you a girlfriend.
Thanks, Abe. Congrats again to AJ in Atlanta for winning the foursome of golf at Bears Best. In Swanee, Bears Best is kind of an interesting course. It's his favorite holes from all the tournaments he plays. They've got a replica number 12 at Augusta.
Kind of like putt-putt, but for grown folks.
Yeah,
right?
Grown really, folks, yeah. For big-time golfers. Sure, there's stuff that we've missed with all the sports news this weekend. Lord knows there's been a ton of it. Sweet Tea, Tanitra, going to come in here and bring us some of the things that we have missed. I got a little preview of one of her questions, which is pretty fun. We'll do that next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
Miss out on a hot topic?
Yeah.
No worries. Tanitra's got you covered as Sweet Tea brings the tea on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, in a week that has been dominated by headlines, welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. I have lots of big headlines. The Braves being hot, U.S. Open, Atlanta United's debacle, and then finally their win, the NBA Finals, all of the off-field news for the Atlanta Falcons at minicamp. So many headlines this week. We were bound to miss more than a couple of things, and that would be where we bring in Tanitra, because she fills us in on those things we missed.
Hey. Yeah. And so, of course, we've got all of those big stories. But here's a little small story that I wanted to get you guys take on. And that is the Olympics. Now, I know we've got the 2024 Olympics that are a world away, the 2020 Summer Olympics. But getting hip hop to be a part of the Olympics, I thought that was interesting. So getting hip to breakdancing's appeal with the younger audiences. Organizers of the 2024 Paris Olympics want the dance sport that spread from New York in the 70s, of course, to become a medal event at the Games. So most people just think of breakdancing as, you know, spinning on your head, doing a windmill. But in 2016, you know, the IOC voted to add sports like baseball and softball, karate, sport climbing, surfing, and skateboarding for 2020. Now, we can see that some of those, of course, are legitimate sports, but seriously, can someone tell me how breakdancing can be justified as a sport?
They've kind of missed the boat on this one, though. Do kids still breakdance? I don't know. I think they crump. They crump a little. I think it's called crumping, what they do.
Oh, is that?
Well, you know what they be doing? Like, they break. You mean the breakdancers come to? You mean like breakdancing like back in the day?
Yeah, like old school breakdancing on your head, spinning, windmilling. That's what they're proposing to bring to the 2024 Olympics.
I would say no. I think they kind of missed the boat on this one.
Yeah, electric boogaloo doesn't work in 2019. I mean, I'm just kind of going, what are we missing? Shoot, square dancing?
What's next?
Now, line dancing might be kind of cool.
Line dancing? Oh,
but
no,
listen. As a sport?
Let me beat my
country
head on
music
the table.
Has made, like, this is me going on my side diatribe because we got into breakdancing. It kind of made me think about some other stuff.
Okay.
But, like, I've seen, like, the last couple nights, I was riding with my son. And he was talking about how people are starting to listen to a lot more country music, black people.
Okay.
And now that they're starting to do a lot more line dancing.
Is it
and,
back? And, I guess it is, huh?
No, the line dancing and all that. Oh, no, it's a big deal. He showed me some video last night about some line dancing.
Right, and that never
and
left.
It's pretty big.
You guys know
I
teach line dancing, right?
Did not know that.
Yes, I do.
You
I
had your little cowboy boots and little cowboy hat.
No. I don't teach country line dancing. I teach urban line dancing, hip hop line dancing.
You mean like the electric slide?
No, that's not a line dance.
That's
foolishness. No, that's
the electric slide is not a line dance.
That is like
dance.
On level one. I teach levels like 6, 7, 10 line dancing.
Are you talking about like what they call it in Chicago? Stepping?
Yeah, I teach Detroit Ballroom, Chicago Step, and line dancing.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, you've heard of DC Go-Go, right?
Yes.
So, I'll teach line dances on Go-Go. I'll teach line dances off of songs like, you know, Tamia's songs. That's what I do.
It's a samba.
So, you're saying basically it'd be okay for me to go
if the Olympics
to the Olympics
to do
in
this.
2024 because I teach line dancing.
Why do I have see Tanitra in some little shorts, some Daisy Dukes, and a cowgirl hat? And some boots doing line dances. Why do I see that?
I mean, I can, but I don't.
Am I the only person that see that? I'm not trying to be that guy, but I can definitely see you doing
it. So we're going to move on, but real quick, I think Bo is suggesting that I one-up Deshaun with his whole 40-yard dash, and I'm going to show you all just how to line dance. I'm going to show this whole crew. I got something for you all next week. But anywho, we got to go on.
By the way, real quick, if they put Bruno Tomioli and Len Goodman and Kariana Inaba out there and do that, then the judges
could have kept that joke.
Then it becomes
John, because nobody catches it.
You know, I did. Dancing with the Stars, John. I am with you, and I am there. They can totally make that an Olympic sport. So I love these kinds of stories, although we don't have one from the NBA quite yet. Now, we do know that while they're not the biggest underdogs in NBA Finals history, the Pistons have that honor, plus 500 underdogs against the Lakers in 04. The Raptors were plus 230 to win the NBA Finals. Again, we don't have any word yet on if anybody cashed in on it, but a Blues fan cashed in big time after the Blues beat the Bruins for their first Stanley Cup. A $400 bet by a guy named Scott Barry, who was just in Vegas on a random trip, work trip in January, paid him $100,000 off of $400, guys.
That's a nice little work trip.
I know.
That's nice.
And this, of course, was back in January. So think about it, John. And you, we talked about this in the bullpen. This is back when the Blues are at the very bottom in the cellar.
And he got great odds. He got, you know what, 250 to 1, I guess, something like that. And he won $100,000, right?
Yes.
Okay. He's an idiot.
Why?
Because if you get to the Stanley Cup Finals and you know you've got a ticket worth $100,000 if the Blues are going to win it, you immediately fly to Vegas and bet $50,000 on the Boston Bruins to win it and guarantee yourself $50,000.
You sound like your producer, your intrepid producer, Abe. So, but I still say, you know what? I hear what you're saying, and not that I disagree with you, but let us not take for granted that 100 G's is not
something.
Oh, no,
it's good. He took the gamble and he won.
All right, so let me ask you guys, when you're traveling through the mean streets of the A, what navigational system do you use?
I use my phone.
I use
Google Maps.
Google Maps.
Yeah. Okay, me too. So I use Google Maps. I also use Waze. And, you know, I don't necessarily like to deal with the bad traffic, and we certainly don't have to most of the time because, I mean, we get to work at dark 30. You guys leave around 10. I leave around noon most days. But yesterday I had to cover Braves Pirates, so that put me right in the middle of rush hour traffic. Now, the drive from SunTrust to my house is about 25 minutes normally. Yesterday it was going to take an hour. So I'm going back and forth between Google Maps and Waze to see which one would give me the better options. Ended up going with Waze, but not necessarily because the route was faster, but because it gives you 8 options for voice directions. And this is the one that I chose.
Are you serious? Is that
that's seriously? Who you think it is?
No, but that's Waze.
That is Waze. And do you know who that is?
DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled is making money for doing directions on Waze.
Yes. And so I was telling John, you can actually choose from one of 8 options, including, of course, your standard Jane. She has the English voice, if you will. You can also choose Cookie Monster. But I like DJ Khaled when I am in this crazy traffic. And it just gets me hype and it keeps me going. I just love it. I mean, so just out of curiosity, though, if you guys had a choice for a voice direction for your navigation system, I mean, who would you choose? What voice would you choose?
Yeah, you
which
mean
way
besides,
would you go?
Just
mine?
To entertain, I would Samuel Jackson.
That's a nice one.
But I want him as what is it, Miles?
You want him as, okay.
Jules? Is it Jules? Which one from Pulp Fiction? And I want him doing all the cussing. I want Samuel Jackson being Samuel Jackson. He doesn't have to be a character. It could be Samuel Jackson being Samuel Jackson. Talk my turn.
That's where I was going. Don Rickles, what are you doing, you hockey puck?
And that's what I was going to say. So, John, are you going to be the one who encourages yourself and says, Frankie, you can do this, man. You can get home. Are you going to be the one that says, like DJ Khaled, you played yourself? See, I like that. I like him telling me when I'm, you know, going wrong and I need to get it together. Or when I make it home on time, he's like, good luck. We the best. I love it.
See, and
I did not know they did all that on Waves.
And I don't, I have turned Siri off on my phone. I don't ever want to hear Siri again.
No, yeah, Siri, I'm done with.
And
but
so
Khaled,
I,
that's my
you know, because the traffic thing, I mean, you know, it's like, shut up. I know what I'm doing. Atlanta, I got options. I can figure this out myself. Turn in 1.8. Stop. I'm trying, you know. I turn the voice off on my nephew.
You turn the voice off.
Yeah, I turn
you.
The voice off. I don't.
I love Khaled's voice, but when my nephews are here, I actually use Cookie Monster just to give them kicks and giggles.
Wouldn't it be like the most annoying thing in the world?
It is, but you know, love for the boys, for the little boys.
Yeah, that's kind of cool with
that. Hey, turn in.
Turn left.
Hell, you'd be like Fat Albert doing it. Come on, I mean.
Or would you want, I guess for the ladies, they might want something sexy too, like an Idris Elba type of voice direction.
I don't know. If you got into a car
Halle Berry for
with,
you guys,
with a girl you just
I was
started
thinking
dating,
at first, but,
you know,
but Shaft would be
yeah,
like
you would have
Samuel
to like be
Jackson.
Careful about who
yeah,
you use.
Yeah, because then
you
might
know?
Write, and then you might veer off your beaten path altogether.
Thanks,
that's pretty
Steve.
Funny. That is pretty funny.
Yeah, see, we missed stuff. I certainly missed that. Back to the headlines at the top of the hour. What you can expect this weekend. What to watch for on Father's Day weekend with John and you on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.